Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Wednesday edition. Today's date is the 1st of November, 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to have you here with me today. We have a returning guest today. It's going to be a very important interview, especially in light of the kinds of developments that are happening right now as we speak in the Middle East and around the world for that matter. But so many things have happened over the last 30 years since the attack we're going to discuss is actually going on 40 years that fit right in to the events that happened in that 1960s attack that was placed on the USS Liberty. My guest today is Lieutenant Commander James Innes, retired from the military. I don't know if he retired or he left. He's going to tell us that in a minute anyway. I'm going to bring him up right now. In fact, Jim, are you with me?
I am with you. I retired from the Navy, yes.
Did you stay in after this attack, Jim?
I did. I stayed in until 1978, and then I retired.
Now, you know, the Navy, in my view, has always been apart from a lot of the other services. It always seemed to me, that, especially since now I've been looking into naval intelligence activity, they've always had maintained their independence from what goes on at the CIA and other places. Did you find that to be true in your naval service?
That probably is the case, yeah. I was always content, well, let us say, in my Navy and intelligence work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I spent my time also on the USS America, the ship that was supposed to come to your aid that day, and of course we know that they scrambled some fighters off the deck. Can you give us maybe a brief description of what happened after those jets were scrambled by the captain? Was he ordered to do that by the admiral of that particular task force?
Well, we 9 minutes after the attack started, we got a message back from the commander of the 6th Fleet and the commander of the USS America that they had received our call for help and that they had were launching aircraft immediately and would come to our aid. And so we started watching the sky between Israeli jets that were attacking us, looking for these American 6th Fleet aircraft to our aid, and they just didn't show up.
And how much more time between the time you got the confirmation and the time they should have arrived? How far away was the America at that time?
They were 300 miles away, so they conceivably could have made it in a few minutes. They say they might have made it in certainly while we were still under attack.
Mm-hmm.
But they launched aircraft immediately. And the funny thing is, the USS Saratoga, commanded by Captain Joe Tully, did launch aircraft immediately on its own. I talked to Captain Tully, who told me that he was on the bridge doing some maneuvering exercises when his communication officer came to the bridge telling him that the USS Liberty, an American intelligence ship, is under attack and needs help.
Yep.
And he just sent a voice radio message to the admiral, who he knew was on the flagship bridge. And he said, "I'm turning into the wind and launching aircraft to aid the USS Liberty." And he started doing it without, unless otherwise directed, that's what I'm doing. And they didn't protest, and he did it. But he told me later, and told the crew later at a reunion we had in Washington, D.C., that no sooner did his airplanes get to the horizon, he had a message from the commander of the two aircraft carriers telling him to recall those airplanes. And I've heard from several of the pilots that were on their way to us, and they were just very frustrated because they were told to turn around and come back.
Well, now, what that amounts to, in my view, is treason, first of all, and secondly, it amounts to murder. There were actual probable deaths that occurred after those aircraft would have arrived. In other words, had they engaged the Israelis immediately after the attack was brought to them from these two carriers, the deaths would have probably stopped at that point. So there are deaths that are directly attributable to the actions of these commanders.
Absolutely. I mean, we got our acknowledgement of a call for help at 9 minutes after two, and the torpedo didn't explode until 2:35.
Oh boy.
So there's another half an hour, almost 25 minutes, that if those airplanes had arrived, they would have stopped the torpedo attack. The torpedo attack killed 25 more men.
Yeah, so that's so, murder, in my view, Jim.
25 men.
That's murder, Jim.
We've been saying that for, it'll be 40 years this June.
So what we've got is Israelis committing murder, and we've got American commanders complicit in that killing.
And an American Congress that looks the other way and totally refuses to look at it.
Well,
so we filed an official report of a war crime.
Yeah,
with the Pentagon a year ago, and they are absolutely 100% required to investigate. And what they tell us, they've told us unofficially, a former Chief Judge Advocate General of the Navy, Rear Admiral Merlin Starring, went to the Pentagon and asked the Secretary of the Navy, what's going on with our war crime report? And Admiral Starring was told that, if we investigated that, it would be seen as anti-Semitic and anti-Israel, so we're not going to touch it. But they're required by law to touch it, but they won't touch it.
Well, we've got a similar event happening. I don't want to jump around too much because the attack is happening, but I asked the other day that you would maybe just do a read-over of what's happening recently with a near attack against some German military ships that are just there on trying to keep the peace. Basically, they're not warring with anybody. They're basically there at the request of the world body, not a body that I don't have any respect for, but they're there nonetheless. And of course, the Israelis, flouting any international law, have gone and buzzed their flight decks and buzzed their bridge. And mock attacks, and they don't seem to give two hoots about what anybody else thinks, do they?
Well, they don't. Yeah, that was ironic. I saw that first report, and I'm watching the news and waiting for their classic excuse, which is always tragic accident. You know, whether they kill 100 Palestinians or whatever they do, when they get caught with their hands in the pot there, it's always, it was a tragic accident. So that was what I expected to hear. Instead, they're claiming it didn't happen at all. I don't know what the truth is, but somebody ought to look into it.
Well, you know, what we do know, Jim, is that day that you were on the bridge, you guys had been looking into activities in the Sinai, and there's good indication from the intelligence of that period that there were war crimes going on the land as well as out to sea.
Oh yeah, I mean, less than 15 miles from where we were, they were executing up to 1,000 Egyptian prisoners of war and making them jump into ditches in the sand and then machine gunning them, and the next batch would come in, fill in the hole and dig their own. And let's talk about a war crime. It's funny that Michael Oren, for instance, criticizes my description of that, saying that couldn't be true or it would have been investigated by the United Nations and it would be all over Times and U.S. News and World Report. The fact is, it was reported in Time Magazine and News and World Report.
Well, you know, but you also have to understand that Mort Zuckerman, somebody who has a very strong allegiance to Zionist Israel, owns the U.S. News and World Report, and if you take a look at who owns Time Warner and runs it, you'll find the same forces. So you can't get a fair reading in the world press on any of these facts.
Well, that's true. I mean, just as how much do you see of the strafing or firing over or whatever it was of the German ship in the American press? I've not seen it in any of the Seattle papers.
That's right. That's right, Jim. And you know something? You won't either. And the fact is, with the events that are unfolding around America right now, and I don't want to pull you off message here, but it looks like we're getting set up here for another big fraud election, and nothing is going to get reported correctly in that mess either. And I look at this and I say to myself, with all this string of crimes, one after another, what is it about the American public that is unwilling to look at these crimes even in a slightly rational way? They turn away from them wholesale. I don't see anybody in the mainstream public willing to even examine these problems.
Mm-hmm.
It baffles me, because as soon as I realized some years ago that what I thought was my patriotic, wonderful nation was something quite different than I had been taught, I became incensed, and I immediately started trying to do something about it. But that doesn't seem to be the norm. That seems to be the exception, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. I mean, where is the public protest? And I mean, I'm frustrated by that just as you are. Nobody seems to notice. Maybe just because there's so much of this stuff that we get overwhelmed.
Hmm. Well, and I'm looking at this Middle East mess right now, and it looks like you made a good point earlier. I mean, they'll kill 100 Palestinians, and recently, actually, they started killing all of the journalists that were in Palestine. There's no journalists left to report the murders that they're committing, and you're seeing on press releases saying, we're increasing our pressure on the Gaza Strip. What does that mean? That means they're bombing the civilian population. Is that what it means? And again, the world is not outraged. I'm outraged, but the world isn't. And I'm wondering, you were there to collect data and information on activities going on both in Israel and the Egypt Sinai, and things that you found out about what goes on there have remained a secret. And it's not a secret to people who've read your book, but when are we going to be able to get this into the mainstream, that these are the kind of people that we are on the side of? We're on the side of some pretty evil characters over there, Jim.
Well, yeah, that's right. And hardly anybody knows. It's tragic.
It hurts me. It breaks my heart to see that. And especially when I know our young men are over there now in harm's way, fighting on the behalf of this country. It is offensive to me to see this, but anyway, going back to the Liberty, we know there was a major cover-up after the fact. Do you know how much of the Liberty's activity was actually controlled by the White House after the fact? I mean, the reporting of it and the suppression of it. How much of it came from the Oval Office, and how much of it was actually done at Pentagon level?
I think most of it was Pentagon level. I mean, the press office, or the public affairs office in the Pentagon, it was sending messages to the Liberty, and actually to worldwide, saying that we will not talk about this period to anyone ever. And the crew, it's really quite remarkable, and this has to have been coordinated from the Pentagon, that everyone in that ship, and especially all the guys who were hospitalized and spread around the world in hospitals everywhere from Virginia, as I was, to Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
Got personal visits from senior officers in their hospital beds who said, if you ever talk about this with anyone, including your wife or your mother, you go to jail. Now, that was, dozens and dozens of visits. There were, I don't know how many guys were hospitalized, but there were at least 50 or 60. And for every one of them to get a visit from a senior officer threatening threatening to send them to jail if they talk about the attack.
Did they go into any details on what grounds they would jail you, other than just be on their own fiat? I mean, they can't make a fiat decision to jail somebody, although in a tyranny you can, and it seems like that's where we are. But it doesn't seem through a military, it doesn't seem a justified military decision for them to say that.
Well, the blanket excuse always is national security. I mean, they say this is secret. You will not talk about it. If you do, you violated secrecy laws, and you go to jail.
Well, when a crime is committed, isn't it your duty to and as a military man, when you sign on, you also sign on to saying that when a crime is committed, regardless of who commits it, if you are silent about it, you're complicit in that crime. And basically, to return those fighter jets to the deck of two carriers committed murder, and those are crimes, in my view.
It's better than that. It's a violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. If you fail to defend or come to the aid of a fellow serviceman under attack by an enemy, you have yourself committed a crime and are punishable under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But nobody was. We've asked the Navy time and time again, why was this failure to protect us not investigated? And they just won't reply.
Well, you know, more and more people are aware of it. I've made it a goal of mine to inform as many people as I can. And you've been fighting this same battle for decades now, Jim. And I applaud that effort. Here's the thing that I'd like to get to. We're in a situation now where our Bill of Rights has been suspended. We've got it now where American citizens can be renditioned into jail without habeas corpus rights. In other words, it looks like we're down that slippery slope into tyranny, and you experienced a tyranny 40 years ago. In other words, we weren't really ever as free as we all thought we were we?
Obviously not, no.
No. And I'm wondering, you know, what kind of action do you believe we should be taking as citizens? I mean, you know, aside from, I'm not talking about violence or anything. I'm talking about, you know, if the flow of history and the flow of public opinion begins to congeal in some way and we get a force behind some of these facts, I believe that we don't need to be engaging in any violence. However, if we don't get these facts out, I don't think we're gonna have our freedom at all very much longer. I think it's finished.
Well, we need to be careful who we send to Washington. Apparently, we've made a lot of mistakes in that direction.
Well, they're cheating on these with these voting machines, Jim, and I don't see any way around that. The mass media doesn't report it, and you know, over 90% of our elections now are decided by machines that can be hacked by criminals. So
that one did get reported in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer today, and they say that Diebold is protesting vigorously that it's not true. And there's a cable show coming up to report in a couple of days on the whole thing.
Mm.
I'll be interested to watch it and see what they have to say.
Well, did you know the four largest, there's only five companies providing these machines, but four of the five are owned by Israelis and Zionists from Israel.
I have read that, yeah.
Is this a coincidence? Yeah. I don't think so. It baffles me, Jim. I do these shows. I talk to people. I talk to people like you. I discuss this with ex-CIA people, everybody that I talk to about this. And all of us are sitting here saying, what in the heck are we doing? And nobody seems to be able to get any traction. And I think, you know, by and large, America knows what's going on and just doesn't have the moxie to stand up and say something.
Well, or they are pretty convinced from what's happened in the past that they wouldn't be heard. I mean, we look at the Liberty thing. We have solid evidence going back 40 years that the attack was deliberate and that Israel lied, and we're supported by some key people. I mean, look at it. We are supported by the legal counsel to the Navy Court of Inquiry and by the legal counsel to the admiral who appointed the Navy Court of Inquiry, who and later became chief judge or chief lawyer of the Navy, chief judge advocate general of the Navy. That's Admiral Merlin Starring. And we've got all these people and statements from then Secretary of State Dean Rusk and then Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Admiral Thomas Moore, and you know, just a long list of people who support us and say that what we are saying is true. And yet, if we carry that to Washington, they just brush us off and say, nah, you just say that because you hate Israel. We don't hate Israel. We hate the lies.
Well, you know, this frightens me because what we've discovered on the French Connection, you know, we work hard to dig through the mess. we've discovered that this is one of many crimes, Jim, and we're actually finding out that there are crimes that in the recent past, as well as others in the planning stage, that the same force is involved in. And in other words, unless we are willing to turn our eyes and look at the liberty and then the subsequent things that have happened, we are all going to be enslaved by this very same group. And I see that the blockage comes just above the military. Do you see the highest levels of the military being compromised, or do you see it at the political level?
I don't know where it is. It looks like it's all being compromised.
Yeah.
Who knows where it starts?
Well, because we actually talked to some Marine Corps a Marine Corps wife who was involved with her name's Kay Griggs, and her husband Lieutenant Colonel Griggs was involved at the very highest level in working with these same forces that have kept the Liberties events under wraps, and she says that the highest levels of the military are often as compromised as our Republican and Democrat Congress and Senate. And you know some of the methods that they'll use for that. I mean, look at this page gate that's just started here, and we've got others. I'm going to bring up a guy who, from the Navy, that's father was involved in this, Admiral McCain. And now John McCain, years later now, is actually, you know, he won't do anything about this either, will he?
Oh, no, we've appealed to him dozens of times to look into the liberty, and he just looks the other way. He won't do anything.
Well, do you know that his family was awarded a multi-million dollar exclusive contract to distribute alcohol by the Brothmans of Canada?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, the contract to that family, to the McCain family, is worth $100 million.
Really?
Yeah. Not so surprising anymore that he turns away.
No, that's right.
You know, often what we've been able to discover in looking into why people aren't taking the right actions, at the very highest level, they're either being compromised through some sort of crime they committed and that's held over their head, or some kind of, you know, sick event, or there's a profiteering going on. And we're trying to find honest people here. Have you appealed to Ron Paul or Cynthia McKinney or anybody else that seems to be on the up and up?
Yes, we've appealed to all those.
And what happened with Ron Paul's effort?
Cynthia yeah. McKinney, when she was in Congress, put in a major statement in the Congressional Record in support of us.
Hmm. I bet that didn't win her friends over there, did it?
No, I think that helped lead to her ouster.
Yeah.
I mean, that made a lot of enemies with the Israelis and brought in a lot of support for her opponent.
Well, and how about Ron Paul? What happened with that effort?
We had some contact with him. I'm not sure how that one worked out.
Hmm.
I think we got the
case. What is your legal status right now with this case, and what are the events that you're first of all, why don't we tell the people at this juncture how to get your book and just, you know, give the name of it how they can get their hands on it.
Yeah, well, the book is Assault on the Liberty. It was originally published by Random House and republished by two more publishers lately. More recently reprinted by Raintree Press. It's available with a phone call to 425-788-4561.
Mm-hmm.
425-788-4561. Or go online to USSLiberty. .org or .com, and you'll see a link at the top of the page that will take you right to a how to buy section.
Well,
you can order it online with PayPal, or you can call that 4561 number.
You know, I like having you back on regularly, Jim, but just to remind people of the events that we're all aware of on the French Connection, but we're getting new listeners every day. People who are not aware of this story, And if they are interested, they can go into the archives and hear some other details about the nuance of the attack. But I like to bring out some new stuff each time you come on so that people who have heard the story can get your take on other issues. Do you have an idea of what's happening now with what's going on in Iran? I mean, you read the newspapers, but it seems like we're heading toward another assault on this country. And, we keep committing our young men to these horrible foreign follies. I don't know what else to call them. And we're compromising our standing in the world, and I'm wondering what you see coming in your own view.
I wish I could see what was going on, but nothing looks very good. I mean, we've lost most of the support that we once had around the world, where it used to be that people admired Americans, and everybody looks unfavorably upon us, and it's all because of what happens in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I see our troops being sent to the slaughter, and no one seems to care, and it's always for this same country in the Middle East, and it pains me so. And you know the worst thing, there are many good Jewish people out in America who have bought the company line that this was a mistake. Can you assure those listeners, the Jewish listeners that have heard another story, of the veracity of your claims here? And because I'm positive you're absolutely 100% accurate on your assertions, but these people seem to believe the other side of this. And if they're listening today, what would you say to somebody who was a skeptic?
Well, they should go to USSLiberty.org and read some of the statements by national leaders who say that absolutely it was a deliberate attack. There's no question about it. I get mail like that all the time, Daryl. I get mail from somebody that says, I'm Jewish and I've read what the ADL and AIPAC have to say about this, and I don't know how you can continue to tell these awful lies about Israel. It was obviously a tragic mistake. In fact, there's a long article by the director or chairman or whatnot of FLAME, the Israeli propaganda group.
Yes.
Sent to the Washington Report on Middle Eastern Affairs, criticizing the magazine for reporting about the USS Liberty, and he details every offense against or by Arabs for the last 40 years, and says, why aren't you reporting on this and this and this? Why aren't you reporting on the Marine barracks in Beirut, for instance, which he fails to mention that Israel knew about that in advance and could.
Well, actually, they're the ones who put that attack together from our research, but that's just between us.
Yeah.
Us and the listeners. Yeah, go ahead.
But this guy just goes on and on about how the magazine fails to report about anything except the Liberty, which was obviously, he says, a tragic accident, and get this, has been investigated 15 times by the Congress, and that's the biggest lie at all. You know, every time somebody investigates or comments publicly on the USS Liberty, they pick up the grand lie by author A.J. Crystal in Florida. They say, well, I get these even the letters from congressmen. They say, well, that was investigated 15 times by the Congress and found out to be a tragic accident. Well, that is absolute 100% bull. We have letters from the Congressional Research Service signed by the director of the Congressional Research Service telling us that there is no record that there has ever been any congressional investigation of the USS Liberty. The lie that they've been investigated 10 times or 15 times or whatever is purely a fiction created by A.J. Crystal and is total 100% false. Never.
Well, it's interesting that we've got a lot of those kinds of lies, like the federal income tax law was ratified by two-thirds of the states. That's a lie, and everyone seems to think that that's true, too. And then they've used the color of the law without having the actual law to fleece us for the last, 85 years. And the same with the Federal Reserve. And there's so many examples of this. We see it now happening in so many other places. One of them, we've got the law on equal access. office for the government for candidates being thwarted right now against one of the candidates we've put up in an election. And they're saying, well, the law says we don't have to, and it doesn't. I've read the law. It doesn't say that. In other words, they don't care if they make it up, Jim. Nobody seems to be able to call these people on their lies.
Yeah.
You know, can't we empower a grand jury to indict somehow? Or are you outside of that process because it was military?
Somebody ought to be able to investigate these things. I don't know where or who, but we've certainly been trying. I mean, remember, take a look at our war crime report, which you'll find on usliberty.org. I mean, we detail absolutely and with 300 pages of documentation how and why this was a war crime. And Congress won't even acknowledge, or the Defense Department won't even acknowledge that they received it.
Haven't you? You told me last time you were considering looking into Brussels and going to the International Court of Inquiry in The Hague.
We looked into that, and the answer is that actions there can only be brought by a government, by a national government, not by an individual.
Ay. Well, what are you doing going forward, except for informing people about this injustice and this crime that was committed against us by Israel? What are your plans in going out into the future?
Well, we've got survivors all over the country who go on radio shows like this one and local radio shows and television and talk to groups. That's going on all the time. And people are universally convinced. That's one good thing. I mean, nobody who hears the whole story and sees the evidence comes away unconvinced that it was deliberate. There's no question that it was a deliberate attack and that Israel is lying and that the U.S. government is covering it up.
Well, I mean, do you find that there's a lot more interest in this story than ever before?
As a matter of fact, yes. The biggest sign I see is book sales and email.
Yep.
They both just surge every time there's one of these. And in fact, another thing, your show always gets a big feedback.
Yeah.
And we've done half a dozen videos, documentaries.
Yep.
My favorite of the bunch, and I think the far and away the best done, is the History Channel. The History Channel has broadcast a one-hour show on the USS Liberty about 45 times.
Wow.
Both domestically and in the International History Channel shows. And every time we get those, I get literally hundreds of emails, and almost every one of them is supportive. Maybe one out of 100 is from somebody that says, you know, I've always been a supporter of Israel, and I can't believe they would do this no matter what you say. But that's rare. Most people find our evidence totally convincing.
Well, you know, when we started our work in looking into world events and how they've transpired over the last 100 years or so, there were very few people who even acknowledged that Israel might not be an ally as claimed. That is no longer true. We're looking at 40% of the American public believing we went to this Iraqi theater on their behalf. Now, that has shifted in the last 18 months. So we are getting, we are making ourselves heard, and I think the USS Liberty is a very important part of the story, because what it does is it encapsulates our entire argument. And I mean, what better example can we give than the way that the U.S. government has treated you and continues to, and show you that our AIPAC and the rest of these people are controlling our nation's leadership. It's the best example, I think, that the French Connection has found.
You know, that very point was made by Senator Adlai Stevenson when he was in the Congress. Shortly before he left the Congress, he called a press conference and told the press that the whole situation in the Middle East might be different if my book, Assault on the Liberty, were better known and more widely read. Now, that statement from somebody like Hadley Stevenson is powerful.
Well, Jim, you know, I don't want to keep you any longer than we have today. I wanted to do this because I don't ever want this to fall out of public circulation. I want it to remain in the forefront of people's thinking as best I can. And you know, you're one of the people I know that has never stopped fighting, and you're an inspiration to me because there are many, many days, and I'm sure you've had them, where you just want to throw the towel in on this and go, all right, let's just forget about it. But the crimes that I see and the injustice I see won't let me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I understand. Been there, done that.
Yeah, well, you know, and we know, you know, we know what's coming. You and I know what's coming. We don't know the date. We don't know how, you know, how exactly they're going to let it happen. But we know that they're taking our country from us right out from under our noses. And it breaks my heart, and I know it does you, and I'm sure everybody that's involved with the Liberties Justice movement see what's happening too. And I just want to thank you, sir, for your efforts, and I want you to give that number once again, and how the book can be found.
Okay, the you can order it either go to usslibertyorg and click the icon up in the top left, top right hand corner of the page, or call 425-788-4561. You can order it with a charge card.
Well, and are you shipping some of these out yourself?
I am, and every book I ship is signed.
Okay. Well, you can get a signed copy of the book. I've never gotten one, you know, Jim.
Oh, is that right?
I never did. I got to get me a signed copy for my library here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you all that this is one of the stories that I hang my hat on to let everyone know just how bad we are falling to this lie about this country in the Middle East being a friend of ours. It is certainly not. Now, that doesn't mean the people living there are aware of the crimes being committed in their name. What it does say to you all is that their leadership for decades has been lying to not only their public but the world. And it's time we all started realizing just what kind of country this is, and why, and start questioning why we consider these people allies. In fact, they have proven themselves to be anything but that. And so that is the broadcast for today on the French Connection. I want to thank James Innes again for his time here today, and I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen. Until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you to be well. Bye-bye now.